Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glory in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it.
Thank you. used to being here on a Monday night at Pilgrim Camp and having so many people and not being on our knees. Isn't this a prayer meeting? Well, it is. We're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to bless us tonight. And to meet us, some of you are looking at me like, I don't know him. I don't think I like him. I don't know what I'm going to be doing this week. Well, you're sizing it up and wondering. And I'm looking at you, too, and I'm wondering, I don't know if I'm going to like you either, because I don't know who you are. And before too long, though, my name is Ernie. You can call me Brother Ernie, I guess. And I'll call you by your name once I get to know who you are. And I'm thinking some of you are counselors, and a lot of you, or a number of you, I do know already, but there are those that are unfamiliar to me, but I'm glad that we can seek the Lord together. You know, the Bible says that if we glory, we should glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to us. That means the world doesn't hold attractions for us anymore. It's dead. We don't care much about the things of this world in the sense that they enamor us or attract us. We've found something a lot better than what the world has to offer. I'm crucified to the world. The world is crucified to me. It's like a girl I heard one time, it's a true story, she got an invitation to a party. She was always known as the life of the party. She was the one that, well, I guess she was pretty, and she was kind of outgoing and bubbly, and she was the life of the party. And then she got saved. She found Jesus, and the cross became a greater attraction than anything else. And somebody sent her an invitation to go to a party someplace. And she wrote back. This was in the days where you actually wrote back. I know we've passed those days long ago. I still write back, but you probably don't. But she did. She wrote back and she said, I'm sorry, I cannot come. I died. Well, that was kind of an interesting thing to be getting in the mail from somebody who's dead. But the person who got the response said, oh, well, she can't come because she's dead. Well, that's a good reason, good reason. But they called her up and they said, you know, we don't understand this. You can't come because you're dead, but how did you write the letter if you're dead? And so she went on to explain that now the things of this world have grown strangely dim. I've got something else that now I glory in. I glory in the cross. I make my boast in the cross of Christ. I just love him. And tonight we want to pray for the counselors. We want to pray for the staff. We want to pray for the guests and all of us that are here. We want to ask God to meet us. We want to ask him to draw us nearer to the cross. Some of you, all of us, not just some of us, we all have ministry this week. We all have service to render to the Lord. Different ways, different capacities. Even the guests are here to serve one another and to bless one another and to encourage one another, right? Right. And so we're not here just like bumps on a log to sit and wonder, but we're here to serve the Lord and give ourselves to him in testimony, in song, in prayer, and in whatever ways we can. Whatever your hand finds to do, just do it with all your heart. We've got a lifeguard here that walks on water. That's pretty good. That's better than the rest of you lifeguards. I want to see that tomorrow, Brother Frank, and how well you do. And whatever way you serve, and whatever you can do, do it as unto the Lord. Because of Christ, because of your love for him and your devotion to him. Father, we do pray that, Lord, you will come to this meeting tonight. Lord, we're here for you. We're here because you've saved us. You've brought us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. And therefore, we're going to glorify you in our body and in our soul, which belong to you. So, Lord, we pray that you will help us tonight to draw near to you with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Lord, we need help from you, every one of us. We need you, Jesus. We need you to minister to us so that we can minister to others. We need you to strengthen us so that we can be a blessing to those that will come on these grounds during these next days. And we ask, Lord, that you will have your way in this gathering. And help us to glory in Christ and in the cross of Christ and to love him and to serve him with all that we have as long as our lives shall endure. For mercy so great, what response? What else can we do? What can we render to you, Lord, but to give you our hearts, our lives, our souls, our all? And we thank you for the privilege that it is to be able to give ourselves to you. Lord, we would rather die to this world and be alive unto you. Lord, we would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. To be the king of a vast domain and held in sin's dread sway, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And Lord, that's our desire tonight, just more of Jesus. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your presence among us. We expect, Lord, that you're going to help us tonight in this gathering and bless your people as we come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we sing together 466? We sang a verse in chorus. Let's sing the whole song together. 466.
Oh,
you for your love, Lord. We thank you for your precious blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship and adore you. We glory in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and honor and blessing be unto him. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We make our boast in you, we glory in you, Lord. Hallelujah, you are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yo, bo, yada, baba, yo, yo, yada, baba, yo.
Period. Oh Lord, we look to you tonight
For every boy who will be coming up to camp,
dear Lord,
and even the cottagers, Lord,
dear Lord,
for those who do not know you as Savior and Lord of their lives, Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you will prepare them. Prepare their hearts. We ask your Holy Spirit to prepare their hearts. Lord, that when they arrive on this campground, they will sense the glory of your presence. And Lord, through the 2-week period that they are here,
Lord,
that they will come to know you
child,
as Savior,
yes,
as
Lord
of their lives,
yes, Lord
God.
Everyone,
when they go back to their homes and their communities, their families, Lord, they will
Lord,
be dead to this world.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Pleasures that
yes,
it supposedly brings.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. Grant it, Lord. We agree together, Lord. Amen, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Work in these children. Work in their hearts. Work among them throughout these days. Draw every one of them to yourself. We pray, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Diane and Brother Peter have the privilege of leading these children these next 2 weeks, or just shy of 2 weeks. Sister Diane, of course, is in the cottage, and Brother Peter's down in the village. And I don't know what their themes are. I don't know what their lessons are about. I don't know what's on their heart. But we'd like to know. And I've asked if Diane and Peter would be willing to just share with us what the Lord has given them. And we want to be praying. We will be praying every day, every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Every opportunity we'll be praying for the children that are down in the cottage and in the village, Natick, Nonantum, and for the counselors that are working with them. And so we want to pray intelligently, if it's possible. And to that end, Sister Diane, can you help us? Help us to understand what you'll be doing.
This third period, the cottagers will become treasure seekers. We're going on an adventure. See, the cottage is a great place to be. We're going on an adventure to discover who God is. And so every day, we're going to dig deep into God's Word. Plus, I also have a treasure map, which will be unveiled tomorrow night when the children arrive. And we will go from one X marks the spot to another X marks the spot in our Bible, but also on the treasure map. And we will discover different attributes of God that is so important for the children to know. He's their creator. He's wise and good. He forgives. He's strong. He's powerful. He protects. He provides. And he's faithful. And so every day we discover one of these treasures through studying a Bible story. And we do have a treasure chest this year in the cottage. And yes, there is treasure in the chest. And every day as we finish our lesson, we'll go digging into that chest and we will pull out what we discovered that day. The first morning will be that he's our creator. And so we'll pull that out and put that next to our treasure map because that's what we will have discovered. And the week will go like that. And I can't wait till Sunday when you will find out how many of the treasures we have discovered and when we can share more with you what we will be doing this coming week.
Amen. Thank you. How old do you have to be in the cottage? I think we want to all go. There's still just a little bit of room. I understand that it's pretty well filled up.
Just in the girls' cottage.
All right, well, maybe next year. But we're going to be praying that the Lord will help these children to discover those treasures personally for themselves. Brother Peter, you need no introduction.
Well, Brother Ernie said it's a privilege, and I really feel that way. It is a privilege to be a counselor and to work for the Lord. Last count, and the numbers are changing, but I think it's 68, Sister Letha, or are we up to 69? We're at 68 souls arriving tomorrow. And I feel very strongly that each one of those souls has a divine appointment with the Lord. And I'm thankful for a wonderful group of counselors. They're really young. Or I'm getting old. I think if I retire, then the average age will be around 19 or so. But they're good young men. And I've had the pleasure and the blessing to see them move through the village, the hopefuls, faithfuls, Natick, Nonantum, and see how what God's done in their lives. And it's a real blessing to me. So we have these 68 souls arriving. So how do we serve these souls? Truth is, we can't do anything. I can't save anyone. I can't heal anyone. None of my counselors can. Except for Brother Frank, none of my counselors can walk on water. So, how do we do that? Well, there are four questions in the theme song that we're going to be using this year. And it's such a simple song. It's almost, you almost sometimes feel things are too simple. It's too simplistic. But I don't know, the older I get and the more I think you know the Lord, some of the simple truths just mean more and more every time you go through them. So here are the first four questions of the first four stanzas. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Well, yeah, I'd like to do that, but I can't do that. Well, there's power in the blood. Would you be free from your passions and pride? So that's talking about our internal life, right? Our struggles that we have within ourselves. We see the old man rise in us. Well, we can't do anything much about that. That's how we're born, but there's power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Do you want to be sanctified? That's what God calls us to. There's this process of sanctification we go through. Well, we just can't make that happen, but there's power in the blood. And what's that all for? It's for the fourth verse. Fourth verse reads, would you do service for Jesus, your King? And that's what we are tonight. We're here to do service for Jesus, our King, not in our own strength. We're powerless. We can't do it on our own. But we have a mighty God, and we've experienced it, and we've seen it year after year. And I know, not because I have any advanced knowledge, I just know my Lord. He is going to work, and he's going to work in a mighty way, above and beyond anything that we can ask or think. And if you've heard me say this before, I apologize for this, but it was such a moving moment in my life. Some of you know who Brother Edwin is. And a couple of years ago, I was head counselor, and he never really called me much, but at this one particular time, it was close, well, maybe a year or so before he passed away, he called me in the summer before the third period started, and he said, how are you doing? And if you know him, you know how he talked. He said, how are you doing, my boy? And I said, well, we're looking forward to the camp season. And he says, yes. He said, God is able. And he said that about five times. He said, God is able. God is able. God is able. And he is able. And I've never forgotten the enthusiasm with which he spoke those words. And that's resonated in my heart. And no matter where we are, whether we're serving as counselors or in the kitchen staff or as guests, God is able and there is power in the blood. And so we're looking to the Lord to break down barriers, to save souls, to continue the work of sanctification for some. But we need your prayer, and we covet your prayer. And we will also pray for you and whatever you're doing, too, because we all have a job to do. And thank you.
Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Counselors, ones that were just up and singing, and Sister Diane has a staff also. Who are the count? Stand up, Sister Diane. You can lead the person. Who's serving in the cottage, Sister?
Diana.
Sister Diana and Sister Olga. Three of you for all those kids.
Yes.
Lord bless them. We have to pray a lot. And stay on your feet. And the rest of you counselors, stand. All of you that will be counseling, you men down in the village. Who's in Natick? You guys? Who's in Nonantum? Lord help Nonantum, yes. And all of them. Let's pray together for all these counselors. You pray. Ask the Lord to bless them. To give them the help they need, as Brother Peter said, they cannot save a soul. They cannot change a life. But Jesus can. Jesus can. He is able, thank God. And let's look to the Lord together and pray that God will anoint every one of these counselors, junior counselors, old counselors, first-time counselors, that the Lord would minister to them and through them in these coming days. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for every one of these counselors that are standing before you tonight. We pray, Lord, we pray for the cottage counselors, Lord, as they lead these children into the treasures of your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give them wisdom and help and understanding for every one of these children. Lord, perhaps the backgrounds of these kids are unknown. where they're from, who their parents are, if they go to church, what church they're from. Lord, you know all about it. Maybe the counselors don't even know. But we pray that you'll give them wisdom to deal with these children. They're young, they're small, and maybe they're afraid of being away from home in a strange environment. Lord, we just pray that Sister Diane and those that work with her in the cottage will be given grace and help, Lord, that they'll shepherd these children and that they'll direct them to Jesus, that the truths that they teach will be clear and plain, understood, and then brought home to the heart by the Holy Spirit. We pray, dear Lord, that you will have your way. Lord, let indeed souls be saved in the cottage. They're not too young. They're not too young to know Jesus as their Savior. They're not too young to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not too young to have a relationship with you, Lord, that will spoil them from anything this world has to offer. And we pray that as young as they are, they will learn to love Jesus, and their hearts will be yours. Lord, bless these kids tonight as they are preparing to come. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them and prepare their hearts as well as those that work with them. And then, Lord, down in the village. Oh, God. 68 souls. Dear Lord, not just boys, not just young men, but souls. Souls for which you died. You gave your life for these boys. And dear Lord Jesus, we pray that the work that you ought to accomplish, let not one thing fail. Prepare every counselor, Lord, by emptying them of themselves and filling them with yourself. Fill them with faith for the boys in their group, Lord. The most obstreperous boy, the most wayward one, the hardest of hearts. We pray, Lord, that they will recognize over and over again, God is able. God is able. And there is power in the blood. And Lord, we're expecting that you're going to break fetters, that you're going to set captives free, that you're going to change lives and turn them around. And to that end, we pray that you will equip each one of these counselors. Lord, strengthen them with might by your Spirit in their inner being. We thank you for every one of them giving of themselves and their time and their effort for you. And we pray that you will above and beyond reward them by seeing the fruit of their labors. Lord, and you see the travail of your soul and be satisfied. Bless Brother Peter as he leads this group. Lord, again, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for your anointing. All who handle your word, dear Lord, in the worships and teach, we pray that the Holy Spirit will direct them and the things that are said and taught will be all for the glory of God. We're believing you to do it, Lord, and we thank you for it. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Or let's all stand and sing together number 100. I think it's 182. Number 182. Yeah. take our seats. And before we sing that last verse, I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We sang before that little chorus, "Who took my burdens all away? Jesus, Jesus, who turned my darkness into day?" And there has not been a time that I've sung that song. It's in the Pilgrim Camp book. You maybe sing it a lot. Maybe where you come from, you sing it a lot. But there's not a time that I sing it that I don't think of Junior Borges. I don't know what his real first name is. We call him Junior. But I was a counselor in Onantum when he came up. And you know how you meet the guys at the bus? You'll meet them at the bus tomorrow. Well, this guy got off the bus. He's one of your campers, Brother Ernie. And I was probably 19. I hit the average age. If I were to be in the village now, you'd go up. You'd go way up. But I was young then. And I don't know if it was my first, second time counseling. But here I was in Onantum. And he came off the bus. And he had a radio about this big. Now, you know what they'll tell you when you bring a radio like that to Pilgrim Camp. You can bring it to Pilgrim Camp, and then you can put it in the head counselor's office. And when you leave camp, we'll give it back to you. But I don't know what he was expecting to do with that. But he had a hat that was sort of like a beret kind of cap on sideways. And he had this denim jacket. And as he walked past me, I noticed the back of his jacket had some skulls and bones. And then there was a name. I don't know what the name was. It was his gang. I found out later on. I don't remember what the name was anymore. And he looked like he could be a gang member, and he looked like he needed to go through a metal detector every time he went into the palace to eat, because that's what he looked like when he came off that bus. And I was told not too long after that that his grandmother or someone like that sent him to camp to reform him. Thanks! At my expense. I might be dead by the time he leaves, but here he came. Here he came. And he looked hard. He looked like he was disgruntled. He looked like he was angry. He looked like he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he almost did carry all that stuff. I found out later that there was a bridge in the Bronx where he lived that you couldn't, it was a footbridge, you couldn't cross unless you paid toll to his gang. So every person, every adult person, everybody that went across the bridge gave him a quarter or whatever they gave him. That's his gang. And if you didn't do that, you might be in the East River or whatever it may have been, whatever bridge it was. That's the kind of kid that came. Now, what do you do when you're 19 and you see a kid like that come off the bus? Imagine if a kid like that came off the bus tomorrow. Some of you would hand in your resignations to Brother Peter. No, 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 it's a challenge. It's a challenge that God is able to meet. No matter how they look, and you know, some of the cutest little kids that look so nice on the outside and no skulls and crossbones are worse off than maybe Junior is. I don't know. But he sure scared us. But as the time went on, and he sat in the meetings, and when he sat in the meetings, he never looked any place but down. And he never looked anything but disgruntled. But after about a week or so, we had a meeting up in Onantum. And we had questions and answers, of all things. And so people were bringing questions, and Brother Paul Dietrich was the other counselor up in Onantum, and he would answer the questions, because I was only 19, and when you're 19, you don't know anything. You think you know everything, but you don't. When you're as old as I am, you still don't know anything. But Brother Paul would answer the questions, and one of them had something to do with about death and dying, and where do you go when you die, or whatever. And he answered the question, unless you know Jesus, you're not going to go the way you want to go. And he just answered very simply, and we prayed at the end. And at the end, when people were told they could go back to their cabins or to their lean-tos up in Onantum, not everybody left. As a matter of fact, not very many did leave. But the thing that surprised me was that Junior didn't leave. And the next thing I know, he was kneeling down on his knees. He's kneeling at his chair. And I look at him, and I see his back, and his back is going... And he wasn't chilly. It wasn't that there was a draft. He was crying. I said, what in the world made Junior cry? Junior doesn't cry. Junior makes other people cry. He makes me cry when he comes. But he doesn't cry. But there he was. And he just melted. He just melted. I don't think it was just that question and answer time. I think it was from the moment he got off the bus and the meetings that he had to endure and sit through that he didn't want to be in, and everything that he had heard and everything that he had seen in the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, Junior was being changed. And it culminated in that night when he hit his knees and sought the Lord and gave his heart to Jesus. And before we left that little meeting house that night, we called, all the boys came back, all 16. You got 16 in on Anthem? 16. Almost. You got room for one. All the boys came back. We got them all back. I think some of you remember. You remember Brother Tom Kineth. He was just here, right? Remember Brother Tom? Anybody remember Andy Millar? You remember, you do? You remember him? He was maybe your counselor somewhere along the line. I could go name a whole bunch of others. And everybody was back in there. And Junior, he said, could we sing? Could we sing a song? Oh boy, what do you want to sing? No. Could we sing? Who took my burdens? Amazing. God is able. There's power in the blood. Well, if we sang that song 20 times that second week of camp, I think it was must have been more than that. Every place that we went, every meeting that we were in, until finally the counselors caught on, the head counselor, took him a little while. I can tell you who he was, and then you understand maybe why it took him so long. But every meeting, what would you like to sing? What would you like to sing? Well, the first hand up, blurted out, who took my burdens all away? We sang it again and again and again and again. And every time we sang it, it was a greater blessing than the time before, because it was real. God had come to Junior, had changed him. The frown and the disgruntled look had come, had turned into a smile and a joy. And the last night, we used to go home on Wednesdays, I think, at that time, if I'm not mistaken, and it was a Tuesday night. We left the meeting down in the village. We walked all the way to Nonantham through the woods. And here we were, and at that time, there was somebody staying in Elliott, that little cabin. And all of a sudden, Brother Ernie, Could we sing? What do you want to sing? I see. I didn't learn very quickly either. What would you like to sing? I think it was John Comer that was in there. Could we sing, "Who Took My Burdens All Away"? So here we were on the Nonantham Road, standing in front of Elliott at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and all the Nonantham guys, Junior leading the way. Who took my burden all away? He is able to deliver you. By sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver anybody. Now, I could have told that story and thought of 100 other, more than 100 other people, and told you their stories. You've got your own story. You all do, I suppose. Maybe the transformation, though, wasn't as drastic as Junior's. But to me, that's been such a blessing all my life, because right here at Pilgrim Camp, when I got the life scared out of me by seeing the looks of this guy, well, I guess I learned the bigger they are, the harder they fall. No matter what they look like on the outside, God is able to melt the heart of stone. He can change the leper's spots. He's able to deliver anybody. And so we have that confidence, don't we? That throughout this week and in these days, that whoever they are, wherever they're from, God is going to work. God is going to deliver. He already is working. We've been praying, and we're expecting that we're going to see answers to the petitions that we desire of him, because he's faithful. And so I know some of you have probably heard me tell this story more than once, but I'm thankful for what God is still able to do. There still is power in the blood of the Lamb. He still is able to set captives free, and thank God he's working. And so we're expecting that. We're expecting that in the cottage. We're expecting that in the village, in Nonantham and Natick. And we're expecting it here at Watch Rock. Not only from burdens of sin, but these passions and pride, the things that are inbred in us, the things that are in our natures that we're born with, that you don't think you could ever change or can ever be changed. Oh yeah, he's able to deliver you. He can revamp your whole life. He can change it and make it new. He wants to do that for you, for me, for all of us. And we're believing that God is going to work that way in these coming days. Let's sing together that last stanza. "Tis the grandest thing is there.
for